Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Defensive tackle Sheldon Richardson. Browns will be his, fourth team in 4 years. Not the track record you're looking for. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And what are the Browns getting? The answer to that from a gentleman who joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He covers the Vikings in Minneapolis, Minnesota sports for 1500 a.m. in the Twin Cities. He's Matthew Collar. Hello, Matthew. Thanks for being with us.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, Sheldon Richardson, 1 year in Minnesota. Effective, good, bad, nice guy, good player, what?
Well, I think the impressions of Sheldon Richardson were surprisingly high. I mean, when they signed him to a one-year deal, I think a lot of us thought, well, you know, we'll see on this guy because his sack numbers have gone down since he played for the New York Jets and was sort of an emerging superstar-looking type player, and then he had some issues with the law and some issues with suspensions, and then the fact that Seattle didn't really want to keep him, we thought, oh, not sure really what we're getting here, and I thought he had a great season. He was after the quarterback on a regular basis. Pro Football Focus had him in the top 15 at his position in quarterback pressures. He fit into the locker room really well. He had no off-field issues or anything else like that. He was a generally very easy guy to deal with from a media perspective and even kind of kept things light in the locker room at times with his sense of humor. And I'm not sure that that was exactly what we thought we were getting into when Sheldon Richardson came in based on his past history. But as far as the way he played, I mean, I remember opening day he came out and put like 7 or 8 pressures on Jimmy Garoppolo in the first game. And we're like, okay, I think this guy's looking for a longer term contract here. And I think that would be your big question is, you know, in Minnesota, he was an angel. But was that because he was on the 1 year deal knowing that he could get the big paycheck coming up if he did well here?
Matthew, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Matthew Collar with us from 1500 AM in the Twin Cities. You had a tweet earlier today saying Sheldon Richardson is a unique dude. You sat down with him last year to discuss his passion for football history. You said it's one of your favorite chats. I do want to get to that, just kind of his personality. But you mentioned the off-the-field stuff that kind of marred his time there in New York and the suspension. Did you get any sort of a sense last year as you were talking to him that that was, you know, I guess a character flaw, or was that just a young guy making a dumb mistake?
Yeah, and that's always hard to say, right? Because every guy that has off-field issues, when you ask them about it, they'll always say, yeah, no, I'm not going to have any more in the future, right? But, you know, with Sheldon, I mean, he did walk the walk with that, though. He didn't have even the slightest bit of a problem with, as far as I know, anyone in the locker room or anything off the field. And, you know, I think that that was a major positive for him to sell himself to another team. And he did talk about it on quite a few occasions, especially when the Vikings played the Jets last year, just about how he had matured, and I believe he has kids too now, that that's kind of a difference in his life, and he's sort of looked at things a lot differently, that maybe he felt a little bit like he could do whatever he wanted early in his career, and then after going through a couple of things, being traded out to Seattle, not being retained in Seattle, that it did humble him a bit, and he certainly came across that way to us last year, and he was kind of a put his head down and just play type of guy that really fit in quite well with the Vikings defensive line, and you know that he was hardly the only superstar on the Vikings defensive line. They got Pro Bowlers all across, and just like he's going to be going into a situation there, and he fit in really well and didn't have any type of issue at all. And that's what's going to be hard to say is, you know, does he go to Cleveland and decide, okay, I've got that guaranteed money now, a pretty big chunk of it, and I can kind of go back to doing what I want. But I'm not really sure that that's how he's going to act. I mean, he talked to me about wanting to use some of the money he's earned to go back to his hometown in St. Louis and try to make a difference there. And, you know, he was even talking about post-career, wanting to coach high school kids and things like that. So I think it is plausible that as a young guy, he came out and maybe did some things that he shouldn't have done and then has turned things around.
Matthew, we'll get back to the football aspect in just a minute. Will you elaborate on that a little bit? Just tell me a little bit more about his personality, the conversation you had with him. You mentioned LG Crumpler when we spoke on the phone earlier. Where does he come into play?
Well, Sheldon is very proud of the fact that he was a tight end and a defensive player when he played high school football, that he kind of came from a place that didn't have a ton of NFL stars or anything like that. And so he played both sides of the ball, and that was who he compared himself to. And he's a guy that grew up really loving history. I believe his the history of the NFL and football. I believe his dad was like a semi-pro football player, and he was just really into it. So he was talking with me just about growing up and loving to get a hold of anything he could to learn about different players and just watching football every Sunday. And there was a famous play where LG Crumpler went up and got a ball and got crushed by Brian Dawkins but hung on to it. And for whatever reason, that resonated with Sheldon Richardson. And, you know, talking with him, he's got a good sense of humor and he's kind of a relaxed guy. But I found it to be fascinating that he was so into the history of the game, because a lot of today's players, I mean, they don't even know players on other teams. Have you guys, you know, when you see that the top 100 countdown that NFL Network does, I've seen the players in the locker room try to fill those out, and they're asking reporters, like, hey, who's that guy from the Seahawks? Who's that guy? Because they're so focused on what they're doing. So I thought it was just different for Sheldon to have an interest in the past, and it kind of showed a little bit that he's a different type of dude, but he loved bragging to his teammates about how he used to play tight end.
Matthew Collar joining us from 1500 AM in Minneapolis, St. Paul. What did Sheldon Richardson look like in the middle of that Vikings defensive line? Did he do a nice job stopping the run? Decent job getting to the quarterback? What was your assessment, Matthew?
Well, I think that if there was one area that was not as high, it probably was the run stuffing. And when you look at just his shape, I mean, he is not the biggest three technique defensive tackle. He isn't 315 pounds and just going to, you know, stuff a spot there on the defensive line. But that's why they had Linval Joseph. And I believe the Vikings were the fourth best in yards per carry against or something like that in rushing. So even though I didn't feel personally like he was a run stuffer, they still did a really good job overall as a team against the run. But where he was just outstanding is when the Vikings would find a way to isolate him one-on-one with a guard. I mean, guard play in the NFL in general is not that spectacular. I mean, every team doesn't have a Will Shields out there or something like that. And every time they went up against an inferior guard, Sheldon Richardson just came to play. And, they found ways, especially with Linval Joseph being such a beast, that it takes two people usually to block Joseph. And then you'd have Danielle Hunter on the other side where you're going to put a lot of focus on him. And I think that this is the situation that Cleveland is going to create for him by bringing in Olivier Vernon and by having Myles Garrett there. And, you've got a lot of guys that require two people to block. And I think Sheldon Richardson probably ends up with a lot of one-on-one matchups. And, I mean, he is just a violent type of player. Like, he's extremely quick off the line of scrimmage. And he's the type where if you watch the game tape back and you see him just knocking guys' hands out of the way and going by him, I mean, or he can bull rush and drive somebody back into the quarterback. If he's one-on-one with a guard, there aren't too many guards in the NFL that can handle him for an entire game.
Matthew, did you get a sense? I want to ask you specifically about the Vikings. Was there a number that he would have, if they were able to come to an agreement with Sheldon Richardson, that he would have retained his services? Was there a specific number you think they wouldn't have gone over? Or was it he was going to get a couple of years, he was going to get some long-term security, he was out the door no matter what?
Oh, I think that if the Vikings had not signed Kirk Cousins to a massive contract, that Sheldon Richardson would still be here. Him and Anthony Barr are probably two guys that Mike Zimmer would have, you know, they say stood on the table for and fought tooth and nail if they had the cap space, but they just don't. I mean, they've paid so many guys over the last couple of years. Stephon Diggs got a big contract. Danielle Hunter got a big contract. Xavier Rhodes 2 years ago. Everson Griffin's making a lot of money, and there's just only so much cap space to go around. But as far as the way Mike Zimmer looked at Sheldon Richardson, I mean, you should have seen, even when the Vikings signed Richardson, the grin from ear to ear on Mike Zimmer. He was extremely happy about that signing. Mm. And throughout the year, he continually praised Sheldon Richardson. And I know that people think that, you know, coaches will just say nice things no matter what, but Mike Zimmer is not that guy. Like, if you're on his wrong side, Mike Zimmer's going to let you know, and we can usually read him pretty well with that. And I think that he loved Sheldon Richardson, loved what he brought to the table, and absolutely wanted to bring him back. They just couldn't have matched that. They couldn't have paid that much, and Richardson came to Minnesota to prove that he could still play and get a big contract, and it worked out for him, and the Vikings just couldn't afford it.
Matthew Collar joining us from 1500 AM in the Twin Cities. And let me turn to something Vikings, if I may. There was a lot of talk here last year. Boy, the Browns should go out and get Kirk Cousins. And then you can do something else with that number one pick. You know, if you get your veteran who can play, you're ready to go. And he goes to Minnesota. By all accounts, people were screaming that he did not have a good year and did not do a good job there. If I'm not mistaken, Matthew, he threw a career-high 30 touchdown passes, didn't he? I kind of like Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. What's the feeling up there?
Well, I think that the thing about his fantasy statistics, the yards and touchdowns and things, is they don't really tell the story of Kirk Cousins in 2018, because he was third in the NFL in yards when his team was down by two touchdowns. And that, I think that that probably statistic tells you the most about how he played, that when they needed him in the biggest games at the biggest times, he was not there. A couple of times against Chicago, they lost every national TV game except for, I think, one against Green Bay. And you know, the third downs, the red zones, the situational stuff, he did not step up. And, you know, they were short on the offensive line, and he faced a lot of pressure last year. But there were also issues that he created for himself. Between strip sacks and interceptions, he gave opponents 35 free points on, you know, pick sixes and fumbles returned for touchdowns. I think he led the league in fumbles. It was not a good year for Kirk Cousins at all, I don't think. And it was made very clearly to us by the way Mike Zimmer talked about it at the Combine, when he was talking about how free agents usually perform better in their second year, which tells you a lot, that he doesn't think he performed very well in his first year. And I think when you look a little deeper, you'll see that, you know, he would only throw to open receivers. He couldn't make plays off schedule. I mean, I think Kirk Cousins was exactly the player that Washington wanted to let go and part ways and try to improve on. And though he's always been that guy with the fantasy statistics, but I think we saw last year why one team decided they didn't want to give him that huge contract. And then we're seeing this offseason the type of impact that contract can have, because the Vikings are in a lot of trouble with their cap, and they've got more positions to fill than they can possibly fill with the cap space they have. So, you know, I don't think they came anywhere close to getting their bang for their buck in year one. And if you're asking me which guy I'd rather have, Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield, it's not even close. I mean, it's Baker Mayfield by 50 miles.
I would agree with you from a Browns perspective on that. Yes or no? Would the Vikings do it again, signing Kirk Cousins?
Well, you know, I think so Teddy Bridgewater just went back to New Orleans, right?
That's
and
the thought,
if Teddy
yeah.
Bridgewater takes over for Drew Brees and his knee works fine, then Mike Zimmer is going to cry himself to sleep on a nightly basis, because Teddy Bridgewater was the guy that Mike Zimmer wanted to have for his entire coaching career. He said that probably eight times over the last couple of years. He never wanted another quarterback other than Teddy Bridgewater. He fully believed in him. The locker room fully believed in him. He won when he was here. And it was really just the knee that they're not sure if that's ever going to come back. And, you know, I think if you gave him the choice right now, would you rather have Bridgewater or Cousins? They'd probably rather have Teddy Bridgewater. And I've even heard that some people within the organization wished that they had tried harder to trade for Nick Foles rather than have Kirk Cousins. And I think that right now there's a lot of disappointment with how he played last year. And, of course, it's a three-year contract, and he, you know, might play better next year. They might get him a few more weapons here in free agency in the draft. But, yeah, I don't know if they would have done it again. You know, maybe they still wouldn't have gone with Case Keenum, who got, you know, traded from Denver and didn't play well. But Bridgewater is the one that's going to keep them up at night.
Matthew, thank you for your insight, bud. We appreciate it very much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Collar, 1500 AM up in the Twin Cities. Pretty good things to say about Sheldon Richardson there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.